Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. This message is by Clive Urquhart.
The scripture that Jen just read is a really important scripture at this time. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. The King is coming. 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 He's coming by His Spirit in a fresh way. I'm not saying Jesus is coming back. What I'm saying is the King is coming. And this isn't the message. This, I just feel it's right just to say this for a minute. Think about gates. And a friend of ours, we've been away a lot recently. I'll kind of say something about that in a minute. But a friend of ours brought a message in one of the things we were at recently. He had a vision years ago. And it was, he heard the sound of horses coming. Just the noise, the rumbling of a lot of horses and hooves and just the sound of that galloping. And he was in a walled city in this vision that he had. And the gates were closed. But he could hear the noise of this. And then he heard this phrase, "The King is coming. The King is coming. Open up the gates. Open up the gates." And he just heard this same thing repeated. "The King is coming, open up the gates." And he kept looking at the gates of this walled city and it's like, but nobody's opening the gates. Somebody opened the gates. And he was seeing this vision. So he wasn't somebody in the vision who could go and open the gate in that moment. But he was watching this thing saying, why isn't somebody, because the King's coming, open the gate. And he said, the person who has the authority to open the gate has a lot of influence on the city. And for whatever reason in this vision, he said the person responsible for the gates just didn't hear the sound, couldn't pick up what was going on, and they were busy more enjoying the authority that they had to say, well, I can do this or not, or whatever they were doing in this vision. And the King arrived, but the gates were not open, so the King couldn't come in this vision. And then he came out of this vision and he was like, whoa, what was all of that about? And then the Lord said to him, what holds the gates in place? And he's like, hinges. And the Lord basically said to him, your life is a hinge. And you can decide in your life whether you open the gates for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God's been speaking to us for a while about Him being King. He's Lord, King of Kings. It was just interesting what God's saying to other people in different places when we've been speaking at different things, and it's so similar. And God is oiling the hinge of our lives, or He's oiling our lives, which are a hinge. And part of that oiling is dealing with any distractions, anything that would hinder the hinge, us opening the gates for the King of Kings to come and the Lord of Lords to come. So just park that and hold that for a moment. Jane and I have been away a lot the last few weeks, and 3 weeks ago we were in Frankfurt with one of the partnering relating churches over there, And we had an amazing time. Just, they've very, very similar in terms of worship and heart. The guy who planted the church met with God at Faith Camp one year. And in faith, God spoke to him and said, I want you to plant a church in Frankfurt. So he did. And same sort of flow, same spirit, very strong in prayer as well. People of the Word. And it was just easy to be with them, just flowing with their worship. And a lot of what God did in terms of what he was saying was brought in much more of a flow and prophetic context. People meeting with God, encountering God, and as well as whatever we brought in this kind of way. Just a powerful weekend. And how God is moving and what he's saying there too. Then we were the following week in Wolverhampton at the end of the week. That following week, with a bunch of different leaders that we're building relationship with across the nation and one or two people from the States. But again, such similar heart for revival, the kingdom, a move of God in our nation. And in this setting, God is cultivating friendship and relationship with a bunch of us. And it's not about brands or ministries or names of churches. It's not. There's no competition there. It's amazing what God is doing. And some of these guys are, some of these people are like apostolic hubs, like we are, apostolic sent, apostolic churches. Some of them you can see are probably going to become that in the next few years because of the grace you can see on some of these people's lives and the younger, but what is beginning to develop around them. And God is forming these kingdom relationships. And there was a conference on the Friday and Saturday, powerful. I would say the spirit of what was going on over those couple of days was the spirit of revival, what God was doing. The sense, the depth. It was powerful couple of days, and we were part of that, speaking in that. And but what God is saying, very, very similar. And they started off. The first session was the King is coming, and Jane and I were like, all right, here we go. Psalm 24, the King is coming, and everything else. Then last weekend we were in Italy. Well, I was in Crawley, because we got back the Saturday night in Wolverhampton, and I was in Crawley the next morning, the congregation there. And that was a hinge moment as well over there. But then last Sunday, last weekend, we were in Italy. And there's a number of churches that are part of the Kingdom of Faith family across Italy. And so a lot of those guys gathered for the weekend. And again, just powerful time in terms of what God is doing and the flow, the prophetic flow, people meeting with God, people getting healed. We had a youth meeting on the Saturday night, and it was like there were about 80 or 90 young people there, but they were on fire. It was like God is doing something in the younger generation. Something's happening with our young people, with our children here. Where we were in Wolverhampton, the church that was hosting these few days, they're having a move of God with their young people. In Italy, there's a move of God. Two youth groups from different churches came together for that youth meeting, and it was like they were going for it. You know, sometimes, you know, it can be a bit like, I don't just want to preach to these guys. How do we help them encounter God? Well, they were just encountering God from the beginning. So it was easy just to flow in with what God was doing. So I just want to, we're going to look at In Christ, Our Inheritance this morning, but I just want to say a couple of things at the beginning of it. So it's not just a message within a theme that we're doing, but there's a context in which, why are we looking at In Christ and why is God speaking in the way that he is at this time, and how are we responding in our own personal lives to the prophetic nature of what God is saying at the moment. God is a God of revelation, but he's also the God who reminds. Two really important R's there. The God of revelation. What does revelation mean? Revelation means he reveals. When something's revealed, you see something in a way you hadn't before. In one sense, you're awakened to him in a fresh way, because the first thing he does is he reveals something of who he is. And he wants us to live as people of revelation, as people who are constantly being awakened, because he reveals more and more of who he is day by day. So those that seek him, find him. What does that mean? It means those that seek him will have revelation, an ongoing awakening in their lives of who he is and the truth of the truth of his word. Proverbs says that without vision or without revelation, without seeing, people don't have direction and focus. They get distracted. They live aimlessly in that way. And God is speaking and awakening us to himself afresh at this time. Amen. One of the things he said recently off the back of that vision that I had about praying on the mountain and then the highway of holiness in the harvest was he is awakening the house of prayer. He's awakening at this time. And those that are spending time, those that you're investing in your relationship with God, you're spending time with him, you're listening to him, you're going to be awakened. You're going to be hearing things. You're going to be sensing stuff at this moment. Things like the king is coming. You're going to be like, yeah, 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 he's coming, he's moving. You'll be sensing, I need to be focused and get rid of distractions in my life, because you're sensing, what is God doing? What's he saying? Off the back of that vision, the story where Jesus goes into the temple and clears it out. He clears out all the distractions. And he said, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. What was he doing? He was getting rid of all the distractions that were getting in the way of the church, of the place being a house of prayer. Now, the temple was not just a house of prayer. It was also a place of worship. It was prayer and worship. And God was dealing with all the distractions. So there's a fresh release at a prayer. And there were the adoration, the ascending, and the awakening of who God was. Because he was getting rid of the distractions so they could be awakened to him in a fresh way. In that story, what happens next? The next thing that happens after he declares this place will be a house of prayer for all nations, it says the blind and the lame came to him. Now, miracles happened in that moment. When you clear out distractions, when he's restored in the rightful place as King of Kings, miracles, the supernatural starts breaking out. But also, when you're awakened, what happens? Blindness goes, because you're awakened and you see something in a fresh way. When you deal with the distractions, you don't walk lame anymore, because there's distractions in your life. So when there's an awakening, when there's a restoring of God being in charge and we respond to what he says, there's a supernatural release, both in miracles and signs and wonders, but also spiritually, we begin to see we're awakened in a way that we thought we were awake. Yeah. Yeah, because we are awake to God. But you know, when he reveals something of himself in a fresh way, you become even more awakened or spiritually heightened. Wow, I've seen something of him in a fresh way. Wow, he's even more awesome than I knew he had been. Are you there? Are you there? Are you here this morning?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Then what happens in that story is it then says the religious leaders were indignant because the children were crying out, here's the Son of David, here's the Messiah. That's what they were declaring. Now, they hadn't been told to say that. It was revelation. Now, Jesus had just come in on a donkey and everybody was into the city on a donkey when he went into the temple. So they'd been Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David and glory in the highest and everything else. But it was still revelation for those children. That it wasn't the parents saying, now guys, now start declaring that. They were just declaring that here's the Messiah. And all the religious things were kicking off. You see, when God is restored to his rightful place, the hinges are opening up the gates. We're responding to what God is saying and ascending in prayer and worship in our own personal lives, in our homes, as well as corporately together. There's a release of the supernatural. There's a release of awakening. We begin to hear and see and hear things in a different way. All the religious things start kicking off, but there's a release in the next generation. Because that's what happened there. There's a revelation in the next generation of who Jesus is. Every generation needs a revelation of Jesus for their generation. I can't fight the battles for my kids, and my kids can't fight the battle for their kids. We work together as a generational church to see victory in every generation. But there's a revelation of Jesus in each generation for every person, so that for their generation, they live awakened to what God is saying in that moment, mobilized to pray and to contend for the purposes of God in their generation. Right, there's a different preach. Stop. Okay. The other thing God does is reminds us. He's revelation, but he reminds, okay? Now, most of the time when you read the Bible, he is reminding you of who he is, what he's done, who we are in relation to him, and what that then means we can do. The Lord knows, why did he give us the word? Because he knows how tough life is. He knows the negativity that there is out in the world. He knows the stuff that goes on up here in our minds. He knows how we can be emotionally led rather than spirit led. He knows circumstances can affect us and try and overwhelm us. And so what he does, he gives us his word, and most of the time he's reminding us, hey guys, remember, 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 this is who I am. This is who you are. This is what you can do. Often we're saying, I want to hear something new, something new, something new, something fresh. And the Lord's like, okay, just remind yourself who I am, because I'm reminding you, and everything we've been looking at to do with in Christ, for some, it's a revelation. Wow, I've never heard that before. I've never seen that before. I didn't even know that. Wow, that's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. And something's changing in your life because you're having a revelation. You're seeing him in a fresh way. Then you're seeing yourself in the light of who he is in a completely different way, which is bringing freedom and liberation in your life, in your thinking, in your emotions, how you see yourself. Wow, I am worthy. I have been made acceptable. Jesus, I thank you. I can be bold and confident before you. For some, that's an absolute revelation that's bringing freedom and liberty. For others, God's just reminding. And some of us are going, oh, yeah, 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 wow, I knew that, but I've not been living in it. And so revelation comes here that then informs here, that changes here because it's revelation there in the heart. In that sense. And so God's doing a lot of reminding at this time. This is why the word is so, so important in our lives, that we are feeding on the word daily, because what you feed on is what you become. Amen. You eat loads of rubbish, you're going to look like rubbish, right? But if you feed on healthy stuff and you do something with it in terms of exercise, you're going to be healthy and live longer, right? In that sense. And so there's this feeding of his word and the reminding that he's doing. And everything we've been talking about over the last few weeks, Colin brought a brilliant message two Sundays ago. If you haven't heard that from two Sundays ago, I encourage you to listen to it. It's brilliant. Just life-giving message about who we are in Christ. And just chatting with him, there's revelation for him in that. You know what I mean? He said, oh, it just came alive in a fresh way. And you could tell, just listening to it, it's like, man, it's just life being released. Because it's living, okay, that's going on. So I want to encourage you, even where are we in the month? Halfway through. The reading plan is in Christ stuff, Christ in you. Get it, look at it on the website, build yourself up in your faith. And so everything we're looking at is in our inheritance. Now, there's two parts to our inheritance. There's the inheritance that is to come once Jesus has returned, come back, and we rule and reign with him. There's that inheritance, okay, which we're going to be living in for all of eternity. But there's also the inheritance that we live in the good of now, right now, today. So it's not just that we're waiting for an inheritance once we're not here or Jesus has come back, depends on what happens first. But there's an inheritance that we live in now, and everything that we've been hearing over the last few weeks is all part of our inheritance. So what is an inheritance? An inheritance is something received that you have not earned or worked for. Most inheritances come because within the family, okay? I know sometimes you can be left something by a friend or someone else, but most are through. So in order to inherit, you're an heir. You're part of the family line, okay? And so we have an inheritance that we live in. Now, in order to receive an inheritance, it's usually associated with someone dying. Okay, sometimes when you're alive, you've got, whether it's parents or grandparents or whoever it is, they might give you stuff while you're still alive, and it might be part of your inheritance, and that blesses you, and they're still alive. But normally what happens is the person passes away before that inheritance is released. The person's will is read, and each person named in the will discovers what it is they are to receive and inherit according to the will of the one who has passed away. So normally an inheritance is because someone's died and they've left whoever it is, whatever they had, and it's a blessing. Also, an inheritance then enables you to do things you couldn't do before because you've now received something you didn't have. Now, there's a slight difference with the inheritance that we have in Christ. Now, there was a death. But in that death, Jesus took everything, every sin, overcame death, every punishment that we deserved. He dealt with sin itself. He dealt with everything that could stop us from being able to then receive the inheritance that he then wanted to give us. So in his death alone wasn't enough to receive the inheritance that we then live in the good of. Because we don't just live in the inheritance of his death, we live in his resurrection life. So Jesus was raised from the dead, and therefore, you've heard a lot of this stuff over the last few weeks. So our inheritance isn't because he is now dead and we've now inherited something. Our inheritance is a living inheritance because we live in him. And therefore, everything that we have in him is a living inheritance in a living relationship with the one that is not dead, but he's alive. Are you there? I love that. So we have a ladder, I think. Yes, we do. We have a ladder here this morning. And I'm just going to use Ephesians 1. If you've got a Bible here or you've got a Bible on your phone or whatever, sorry, it's not going to be on the screen unless they can type fast and somehow make that happen. But Ephesians 1, we're going to look at a few verses, 3 to 14 or so, something like that, and just pick out a few things that are part of our inheritance and what does this mean for us as believers. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says here, give praise to him. Give praise to him, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I've found myself recently, especially going through a lot of these in Christ scriptures. How many of you have got the In Christ Jesus book that was by my dad? How many of you have not got one? How many of you have not got an In Christ Jesus book? Okay, if you have not got one, okay, after the meeting, go to the hub. Have we got some? And we'll give you a book, okay? Just go and get it. It's liberating, right? Reading the truth, okay, that's in there. And what I found myself doing reading the Bible is I've slowed down a lot over the last few weeks. I don't know if anybody else has done that. And I'm like, so even this, give praise to him. Rather than give praise to him, the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, he's blessed us through our life. Yeah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And then you move on. I'm like, give praise to him. And in those moments, it's like, Father, you're worthy. You are worthy. Just praise your name, honor your name, give glory to your name. You are the God and the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you are his God, his Father. He is God. And I thank you that you are my God and you are my Father and that I'm in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've ended up slowing down reading the Bible and found myself just worshiping, praying, interacting. Rather than just reading some and then doing that, it's like I'm just meeting with the Lord as you're kind of going. For he has blessed us through our life in Christ. So before you were saved, you were in the world, you had no hope of getting onto the rock of salvation, let alone being raised to a whole new life in Christ. And so what we've been hearing the last few weeks, as we've been, hopefully this will be all right, as we've been getting into the Word and looking at all this stuff, this is where Jesus is. We don't worship the Jesus that walked on the earth. We worship the risen Christ, the one who is seated in glory, in majesty. And so, and it says that we are now in Christ. We've been raised with Him, without covering the stuff that's already been said recently. So if Christ is here, seated at the right hand, if the Father's there, the right hand here, it says that we are seated with Him. Now, we can't all get onto the top of the ladder this morning, but this is where we are in our lives. We're not there anymore. We are here. Now, up here, there's a very different perspective on you guys than if I was standing on the floor in that sense. You can see in a completely different way. Anyway, it then says here, for He has blessed us through our life in Christ with every spiritual blessing that belongs to His heavenly kingdom. So it says every spiritual blessing. There isn't time this morning to talk about every spiritual blessing. We've been doing that for the last few weeks. And even in the few weeks we're doing this, there's still not time to cover everything. So let's have a look at a few. What has He done? What does it mean to live in the spiritual blessings that belong to His kingdom? Firstly, He chose us before He created the world to belong to Christ. So before anything was created in the world, God chose you. Think about this. You were already alive in Him before the creation of the world. How does that work? Because the Bible says He chose you before. If you're going to choose something, do you choose things you don't want and you don't like? You choose the things that you want. You choose the things that you like. When you go shopping, you don't just run into a store, grab something and come out, then look in the bag and what have I bought? You run it, you go into a shop and normally, ladies, you go to all of them and you buy the thing you saw in the first shop, right? Okay. And, yeah. But He chose us, called us by name, before He created the world to belong to Christ. Now, in order to belong, it then says to be made holy and blameless in His sight. So it's one thing being chosen, but to then to belong to Christ and to be in Christ, you have to have been made holy and blameless to be in Christ. What does it mean to be holy? It means to be cleansed, forgiven and free from every sin, every guilt, every shame that has separated us from Him. We now have this old nature taken out and His nature now lives in us. His righteousness for our unrighteousness. His nature for our old nature. You've been made holy. You've been made worthy. You've been made acceptable. This is the inheritance that we live in the good of now. It then says blameless. What does it mean to be blameless? It means to be without fault. Wow. Do any of you think about yourselves in that way? I'm without fault. Do we think, oh, I'm not holy? Because to be seated with Christ, we've been made holy and blameless in His sight. Just close your eyes for a moment. Just speak it out. Jesus, I thank You that You have made me holy. Thank You that I am blameless in Your sight. Thank You that I am without fault. I am not guilty. There is no condemnation over my life. There is nothing outstanding before Your throne right now. in terms of who you have made me and who I am in you. Is anybody thankful? How many people believe what you've just said? Do you believe what you've just said? One of the things that's so important is to speak the word, declare the word, who you are, what he's done, the inheritance that you have, to speak that over your life, because there's enough other stuff that goes on up there. Because of his amazing love, let's have a look at the next. Then it says here, because of his amazing love, he decided that we should be adopted as his sons when we place our faith in Christ. His love is his nature. His nature is to give. His love is unfailing. Do you mind if I don't stay up here all the time? I mean, just imagine I'm sitting up there, living up there, right, all the time. His love is a covenant love. I was looking at this, and I got this Greek Hebrew Bible, and I was looking at what does it really mean to be covenant, in covenant, and what it actually talks about. It's quite a lengthy description in this Greek Hebrew thing, but it basically says God is a covenant God because that is his disposition. And his disposition is his nature. His very character and nature is love. Therefore, his disposition is to be a covenant God. All right? And in his love, and his love is made up of several things, but the first aspect of his love is mercy, treating us in a way that we don't deserve. And then his grace, which is giving us everything that we don't deserve. And these two aspects, or key aspects of his love, that we live in the good of constantly. Because when we mess up and we ask him to forgive us, what do we encounter? His mercy. And because he's forgiven us, we then begin to live back in his grace in that area in our lives. Because, and his grace enables us to live in the way that he has called us to. So in his love, part of the inheritance that we live in is we have access to his mercy constantly, and we live in his grace because that's what he has given us as our inheritance to live in the good of. That's why there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen. For you or for me. Thank you. In our lives. He decided that we should be adopted as his sons. Adoption is amazing because adoption means you're outside of a family. And when somebody comes, they come and say, we want you to be part of our family. We, out of anybody else that we could pick and choose, we choose you. We want you to be part. So we want to adopt you and bring you in as a son, as a child of this family. You're not just an extra over there somewhere. You take the same name. You've become part of the family. You become a son of this family, a son of this house or whatever. And it says, when we place our faith in Christ. And yes, this was his purpose, even his joy. Why should he do such a thing? Because this causes his people to praise him for his glorious grace. Now, the word grace there in this moment means, it's the word, Greek word is charis, and it means to rejoice. And it means, grace there means that which causes joy to take place in someone, to give them pleasure. That which creates delight in the one who is receiving, the one who is the recipient. And so what's he saying about our inheritance here? Because this causes people to praise him, to be full of rejoicing, to be full of pleasure, to be full of delight because of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to those who deserve nothing from him. All this grace, all this delight, this joy, this pleasure, he has given us in Jesus, the Son whom he loves. That's your inheritance. Joy, delight, pleasure in him. Then it says here, in Christ we've been redeemed, liberated, freed. With his own blood he has made it possible for all our sins to be forgiven. So part of our inheritance is forgiveness. Yes. Yeah. Part of our inheritance is ongoing forgiveness. Yes. That whenever we come to him, say, Matt, Father, I forgive me for that thought, that negativity, or whatever it is, immediately. Why? Because he's covenant with us. Immediately, he forgives. Thank you, Father. And he's purchased us with the price of his blood so that now we belong to him. So we belong to him now. He's purchased us with himself, with his blood, so that we're now in him, hidden in him, belonging to him, not to anyone else or anything else in that sense. All this is the result of his immense riches of his grace that he has lavished on us. Part of our inheritance is that he constantly lavishes himself on us. You know, if you love someone, you lavish yourself on them, don't they? If you love someone, you say things to them, you do things for them, you want the best for them. You might buy them stuff, you might give them gifts. You show your love, not just with words, but you show it with action. God primarily showed his love in action by Jesus going to the cross, but he's often speaking all his words of who we are in Christ. These are words of love, words of acceptance, words of you're worthy. I've dealt with everything that could separate you from me. This is the inheritance that you live in the good of. And I'm lavishing you with who I am. Isn't that amazing? The creator of heaven and earth lavishes himself on you and me constantly, constantly, constantly. This is why he wants us to understand we've been made worthy and that we can come boldly and confidently, not just in a time of worship, but we can live like that before him in our lives. Yeah. That when you're driving in your car, heaven is open. The way is open. He's lavishing himself on you. You're driving your car, you're walking down the street, you're in your lounge, you're going to bed at night, you're at work at whatever moment. You're living boldly and confidently, knowing there's no condemnation for me because I'm in Christ. My inheritance is I've been made worthy. I am loved by the one who is love. He finds no fault in me. Now, you say, well, hang on a minute. What happens if I do something wrong? You ask him to forgive you and he cleanses you. But the intent of our life now with his nature in us is not, can I sin and get away with it? But it's how close can I walk with him? Because he's put his spirit in me that enables me to walk in that way. Yes, verse 8, he has given us wisdom to receive his grace and to understand the wonderful ways in which he has blessed us. I'd encourage you every morning, something that I do, and I ask the Lord, Father, today, I thank you for wisdom and revelation to live in you today. You are wise, I am not. You're the one who reveals, and I half the time I don't see things. And so, Father, I thank you that today you are my wisdom. Enable me to have the mind of Christ today, your thoughts today. Thank you that today you continue to reveal who you are throughout the day to me. And sometimes God reveals himself through other people. The things they say or something they might do reveals something of God in a fresh way. Somebody might say something about what God's doing in their life and you're like, wow, that's amazing. Jesus, do that in me too. I want to live like that in you or whatever it might be. But he is the wisdom that we need. Verse 9, he has even made his will known to us. Although this remains a mystery to others who don't know him, it has been his good pleasure to reveal his purposes to those who now live in Christ. Again, look, revelation, reveal, reveal, reveal. His purposes will only be realized when this is talking about the inheritance to come. As you know, when time basically is fulfilled, then we shall see that God has brought everything in heaven and on earth together under the headship and authority of Christ. There's a couple of things I want to get onto, okay, for the last few minutes. Verse 13, but you also, like us, were placed in Christ when you heard the truth of the gospel of salvation and believed. Some of what Colin brought a couple of weeks ago about believing was so important. Again, if you haven't listened to that, just encourage you to, or have a listen again to it. Then he marked you in a very special way, placing his personal seal upon you. Amen. He gave you his own promised Holy Spirit to live within you. Father, I just pray that we would have a fresh revelation of what it means to have your Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit. Fresh revelation of your Spirit in us. Verse 14, the gift of his Spirit is a deposit from God that guarantees our inheritance and keeps us as those who are his possession. You know, God says himself, when he's come into somebody's life, I will never, ever leave you and never, ever forsake you. That's part of that deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance, keeping us in him, living in the power of his redeeming love, that we might live for his praise and his glory. Just want to read this from Romans 8. This is, if you want to read the first 17 verses of Romans 8, do this. I'm just going to pick out a few verses, okay? Part of our inheritance. Through Jesus Christ, the law, this is to do with the Holy Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. That's why there's no condemnation any longer. Because you've been set free from the law of sin and death. You see, under death, you're condemned. The only way out of condemnation is through Jesus, through his blood, what he did on the cross. And we're brought out of condemnation into acceptance, being made worthy. You are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Because those, and that's verse 9. Then verse 14, those that are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. Therefore, by him, we can now cry, Abba, Father. Wow. He's not just God. He's Father. He's Father. He's personal. He's close. He's intimate. And if we are children, if he's our Father, the Spirit himself, sorry, verse 16, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. This is all to do with living up there, sitting here. This is who we are. If we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you live in us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you enable us to be adopted as sons. To call you Father. Thank you that we are heirs and with you, to you, and co-heirs with Christ. We thank you, Jesus. Just one last thing. Part of your inheritance is health and wholeness, healing. Jesus came to save and to heal. Those that came to him were healed. Exodus 15, 26, I am the Lord who heals you. Isaiah 53, 5, by his stripes or wounds, we are healed. It's part of our inheritance. If we are in Christ and he's in us and he is the healer, therefore we have the one who is the healer on the inside of us. Part of our inheritance is to be healed, to be healthy, to be whole. Some of you are going to receive healing in the next few moments because that's part of your inheritance. Amen. One last thing. We'll mix this together with healing. Answered prayer. Part of your inheritance is to have answered prayer. You are now in him. Therefore, you can approach him in freedom and with confidence. You can pray in the Spirit on all occasions. You can pray in his name, believing that whatever you ask, you will receive it. You can pray with thanksgiving, receiving what you're asking. You can speak to the mountain of opposition, need, and negativity, commanding it to depart, and it has to move. You can pray and agree with others, and what happens? God is present, and God the Father answers those prayers. You can bind on earth what has been bound in heaven. You can release on earth what has been released in heaven. Why? Because you are now in him, and this is part of our inheritance. Just jump to your feet. Just stand up this morning, and next week, Pastor Jonathan Dyett's going to be speaking, and he's going to talk about the victory that we have as part of our inheritance. It's going to be, you know what JD's like. He was here a few weeks ago, so it's probably going to be pretty loud, noisy, and powerful. Just close your eyes for a moment. Just think about the inheritance that you have in him. You have been forgiven. When we come before him and we ask for forgiveness, we are constantly then forgiven. We've been made holy. Just speak all these things out. Father, I thank you, you've made me holy. Thank you, I'm blameless in your sight. Thank you for your unfailing love in my life. Thank you for the covenant that you have made with me as a child of yours, that you'll never, ever leave me and never, ever forsake me. Thank you for your mercy when I need it and I need forgiveness. I need your mercy. Thank you that you never treat me as I deserve in the natural, but you always lavish me with your grace and with who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, you've adopted me. I'm now a child of yours. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God, whatever's appropriate with you. Thank you for the joy, the pleasure, and the privilege that that has given me to know you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, you've liberated me from every negativity and you've given me the freedom of who you are. I thank you for your wisdom in my life. Thank you, I belong to you. Thank you, you've marked me in a special way. Just speak this out. Thank you, you've marked me in a special way with the promised Holy Spirit, which is a deposit guaranteeing my inheritance. Thank you, I have an inheritance now, but I also have an inheritance to come when I rule and reign with you for the whole of eternity. And I thank you that part of my inheritance is that I live in the power of your redeeming love. And I thank you, Jesus, that you answer prayer. You answer prayer because I'm in you. When I pray in your name and pray in your will, I receive everything that I ask. I see everything that I'm asking because I have the assurance of answered prayer. Thank you that you are my health and my healing because my inheritance is health and healing. So right now, whatever symptoms are going on in your body, however minor or major, whatever's going on in your body right now, we're standing before his throne. We are seated up here. So when we stand before his throne, it's here. His throne's up here. This is how we're throne room people. We're not groveling peasants who are trying to get an acceptance by God through our performance. He says, no, this is who you are. You're seated with me. You rule and reign with me. I am your health, your wholeness, your victory, your overcomer. I'm all that you need in any given moment. I'm your wisdom. I'm your peace. I'm everything that you need. And so in this place right now, here's your health and wholeness. There might be some symptoms in your body. They're the facts. We don't deny the facts. We see what they are, but we know the truth of who we are is greater than the facts of what is in us. And so right now, Father, I thank you for that revelation that you are not just the healer in our mind, in terms of we know that, but there'd be revelation right now in our heart, in our spirit man, that you are my health, you are my healer. And we take authority over every symptom now, every sickness, every diagnosis, everything that has been spoken, whether it's a simple cold with a sniffly nose and a bit of a cough, or whether there is cancer, whether there is mental health issues. Father, I thank you, everything in between. Father, I thank you that you are our sound mind. You are our healing. You are our health and wholeness. Now, you need to do this in this moment. You can move mountains right now. So it's not just me praying this, but each one of us. Just speak to that mountain, that sickness. It's small because your faith is like a mustard seed, which is greater than the mountain of sickness. And so we speak to every symptom. We command achy joints, arthritis, breathing issues, food allergies right now. We command those things to leave our bodies in the name of Jesus. Reoccurring migraines, the cycle of that is broken right now in the name of Jesus. Be free from that in the name of Jesus. Speak that over your life. I break that hold over my life right now. I thank you. I'm free from cycles of headaches, aches and pains, achy limbs and joints, muscle issues, bone marrow conditions, brittle bones. There's somebody recently, you've been told you've got brittle bones and you've got to be careful. I take authority right now over whatever that dis-ease is in the bones, and I command your bones to be healthy and healed in the name of Jesus. I command the marrow in your bones to be healthy and whole in the name of Jesus. We speak to lungs, come back to full capacity right now in the name of Jesus. Every breathing and respiratory condition, leave right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, right now, every eating disorder, I break the power that you've sought to have over people's lives. In the name of Jesus, we break those eating disorders right now. Be healed and be free in the name of Jesus. Every cancerous cell, I command every cancer, every form of cancer that is residing in people's bodies right now, I curse cancer in people's bodies. Bowel cancer, blood cancer, bone cancer, mouth cancer, throat cancer, lung cancer, skin cancer. I bind you in the name of Jesus. You have no legal right to be in people's bodies, and we command every cancer to leave now in the name of Jesus. We command health and wholeness, long life in the name of Jesus. Your inheritance is health and wholeness. It's not sickness in any way, shape or form. Father, I thank you for an indignant faith on the inside of us that says, I'm not living in anything less than God's best for my life. Just raise your hands for one last moment because we need to finish. As if one or two practicals. Just exalt him over your life. Jesus, I exalt you over my mind. I thank you, give me a sound mind, the mind of Christ, which is full of wisdom, full of revelation that comes from your spirit, by your spirit. Thank you, you're Lord of my body. It belongs to you. I'm a living stone with your Holy Spirit in me. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, you're in me. My emotions, I surrender afresh to be led by your Spirit. So I'm not led by my emotion, but I'm led by your Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the inheritance, the deposit guarantee in my inheritance that is at work in me right now. And I surrender my will afresh to you, not mine, but yours. Amen. I thank you, Jesus, in your mighty, awesome name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.